What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, November 2nd, 2017. I'm one of your hosts alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrew Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Not much. How are you?
I am doing pretty well. You know, I'm excited for the weekend. It's just a day away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I have a lot of adult chores to do, but I also
that's not fun.
I also have some video games that I'm looking forward to playing.
What's on your play this weekend?
Right now, I'm really into Assassin's Creed Origins.
You are really into it. Okay,
yes.
That's gonna come up here. Well, you know what? I can just put it in here. What am I thinking? It's our show, Andrea.
Are you
it's
sure?
It's Kind of Funny Games Daily. We can do whatever we want. I talked about Assassin's Creed Origins recently and on a variety of platforms and shows, saying that I gave it an hour and just it didn't get me and I just left, and I've been looking forward to but didn't click for me. God of Steel wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, in defense of Assassin's Creed Origins. Sup, Greg? I was watching the games cast, anxious to hear your opinions on Assassin's Creed Origins, and was disappointed to hear it didn't grab you, and therefore you didn't like it as much as other Assassin's Creed games. After playing about 20 hours of it, all I can say is this is exactly what we wanted. It takes past criticism into consideration and carefully crafts an experience that feels vastly different to previous titles, but familiar enough that it feels like you're playing an Assassin's Creed game. After Assassin's Creed 3, we said we didn't want to have a game hold our hand for literally 4 or 5 hours before finally opening the world to us. Origins throws you into the world from the beginning. After the bland charm vacuum that was Assassin's Creed 3, Unity, and Syndicate, Origin gives us characters we can love in Bayek? How do I say it?
Yeah, Bayek.
Bayek in Siwa. Siwa.
Siwa. Siwa is a place, though.
Okay. Bayek of Siwa.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. He's passionate and fierce and flawed and so goddamn likable. The controls are simplified. He goes on and basically ends, so Greg, I just wanted you to give Origins another chance because this is in the running to be my game of the year. And by God, Assassin's Creed is back. Keep up the good work. Do you agree? Are you enjoying it this much?
Yes.
Wow. How far are you right now? Ballpark.
I just hit level 10, so I'm still very early.
Sure.
In the game. But I am really enjoying it. It's challenging in a way that we haven't really seen in an Assassin's Creed for a while.
Okay.
Some people like that, some people don't. The RPG elements that they've mixed in are a very big departure for the franchise, which is something I'm still getting used to. I'm not sure quite how I feel about grinding being in Assassin's Creed, me having to go and do all of these side quests and little side missions. Hunting is a much bigger part of the crafting mechanic this time around, very Far Cry in that way. So I think they definitely needed to change up the formula.
100%.
And they absolutely did this time around. And I'm still getting my feet under me, but I've been up late the last couple of nights in a row because I just keep doing one quest after another.
Gotcha.
And the progression feels tangible. Like, you get new weapons, you can constantly be switching out your gear. And I love that the customization is back. One of the things I've always really enjoyed about the Assassin's Creed franchise is being able to change your look of your assassin, whether it was all the way back to like Altair and Ezio, you know, all the way through the current.
Dyeing your cloak or dyeing.
Exactly. Yeah, or wearing these different full outfits.
Sure. Well, that was one of my best memories of, like, I think it was Assassin's Creed 2 with Ezio, but it might have been Brotherhood, of, like, you know, going into the wolf den or whatever they called them, and there'd be awesome armor and awesome pieces.
That's back, too. I just did a quest last night that gave me a legendary costume, and it's good. It's really good so far.
Yeah, I mean, my complaint was it felt like I got thrown in it right away from it, and I didn't know who he was, and I didn't know what the world was, and it was just kind of overwhelming in a way that I'm like, this seems like a packed hour.
Yeah, I think they need to split the difference. I think that what they've done previously by having too much exposition up front clearly was a mistake.
Sure.
But now there's not enough. And I know it's kind of like, where's the Goldilocks moment in this?
Sure.
But I do think that they probably needed a little bit more narrative, because they don't introduce you to your wife in the game, who is a major part of Assassin's Creed Origins, until you hit level 10.
Oh, wow.
So you have to do several hours of gameplay. Like, the prologue is very long in this game. I remember when I saw the text come up, you know, like, completed prologue, I was like, that was all the prologue?
Yeah.
So I think that there's a fine balance between what's too much and what's not enough.
Okay.
And they kind of haven't quite hit that yet, but I think it's better to have more gameplay and less story up front than other way around.
It seems like since I talked about it on Gamescast, so many people have hit me up and been like, I was right there with you, but Kevin was saying the same thing. I was right there with you and Kev, but you need to play a little bit more. Give it a couple hours. You'll actually fall in love with it and what it is that you want.
I mean, I was talking about this on the What's Good podcast, which comes out tomorrow, about how...
YouTube.com/What's Good Games.
That's right. About how... It has very much taken on this identity of traditional RPGs, action RPGs in particular, where you need to sink a good 15 to 20 hours in order to get over that initial hump where you feel like you're in it.
Yeah.
And all good RPGs are that way. I mean, it's really tough. Even if you look at a game like Mass Effect Andromeda, which, you know, had a lot of criticisms for a variety of reasons, but as far as the overall scope of the gameplay, I didn't really get hooked on that game until like hour 25. And then I was like in it, and I was excited to do all of the little quests and meet all the people and check off all the boxes, all the like min-maxing that RPG fans love.
Yeah.
You don't get that good stuff until you sink some investment in.
Yeah, that makes sense. And it's just so tough right now with so many different games where it is like Wolfenstein, right? From the get-go, I was like, I'm in love with this game. The aesthetic of it, it's way too hard. It's killing me, but I'm going to keep playing it.
Baby mode, as we like to say. Yeah, exactly. Just do it.
But then same thing with Mario, right? Where I feel like it's rewarding right away.
Yeah.
And the aim they're having it. So for me, it was just the paralysis of choice. Where it's like, all right, I'm not feeling Assassin's Creed. I'm going to put it aside and get to what is speaking to me right now.
That's just the problem that we're at this point in time. You know, I've also put Assassin's Creed on easy mode because as much as I love that franchise, I'm like, okay, if I want to play this for a challenge, I can come back to it later. But right now I'm trying to see as much of the story as possible. And in order to do that, I need to not be, you know, wasting time figuring out the best strategy for some of these fights.
That's always
I just need to kind of barrel through them.
In our world where it is, we want to talk about everything. We want to touch everything to have something to say. When you get to it and you get to a boss battle and you're running, that was Wolfenstein for me, where the first time I dialed the difficulty down, I'm just like, I can't, like, the load times are noticeable too, and I'm like, I can't waste 30 minutes of my night trying to get through whatever this one thing is that has me stuck.
No, I'm with you. But I highly recommend, if you guys have at all liked the Assassin's Creed franchise in the past, they've done a really great job this time around. I went back to the legacy control scheme. I know designed it to have the action buttons on the bumpers, but I went back to the face buttons. So, yeah. And I like it a lot better.
I was complaining about that, and somebody's like, you can switch them. Like, when I come back to this game, I definitely will.
Yeah.
But for now, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about before jumping in to your questions, giving you some perspective, reading bad PSN names, and having fun. If you like that, you can follow along on a variety of platforms. We broadcast the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. However, if you're watching live, we don't look at the chat. The only way to get your questions read on the show is to write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. If you are watching live, though, we require you to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what facts we screw up as we screw them up. So at the end of the show, we can read them, correct it, and set the record straight for everyone watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or listening on podcast services around the globe.
Kevin.
What?
Kevin, there's no timer going.
Kevin don't care. Kevin's over there on his time codes. He's all set. He doesn't need us. Ain't that right, Big Kev Dog?
Oh, yeah,
that's what I like to hear. Housekeeping, one simple one for you. Extra Life is Saturday. It's coming up. It's us, 24 hours, raising money for the big, beautiful kids over there at Extra Life, Children's Miracle Network. You can support right now by going to kindoffunny.com/extralife. You can join the team right there and stream on your own to raise money for this and help the Kinda Funny team, or you could just donate there if you want. No matter what, though, you should watch Saturday, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, 24 hours of video games and stupid things and crazy things. Mm-hmm. Do we have a wheel we might use as like a punishment wheel? We do. What, I'm not allowed to tease it?
It's not a punishment wheel.
I'm going to put punishments on it.
No, that's what the little wheel is.
Oh, the little wheel is the punishment wheel? The big wheel
comes in time.
Okay, well, we'll figure it all out. Don't worry. A lot of cool stuff planned for Extra Life this year. You should watch. Andrea, are you coming by? Are you going to swing through?
I think I'm going to swing through.
Yeah, that's Andrea. That's what I like to hear. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Get ready for Kevin to yell at me. Two items on the Roper Report.
The Baker's Dozen!
Oh, I thought he was going to do that. He usually gets mad when there's just two. When there's three, he's okay most of the time.
Baker's two. Dozen.
No,
I liked it, Kevin.
You did good. You did
good.
No,
I mean you.
Oh, I'm half-assing. Yeah. Oh, it's a half-ass. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's
no, it, he's not half-assing it, Kevin. Trust me. We were back there trolling for some good news stories, and there's just not a lot out today.
Andrea, she works hard. She goes through there. She cross-references. She's a good co-host. Unlike that Danny O'Dwyer, who hasn't shown up for work in quite some time.
I miss him so much.
First item on the Roper Report. Super Mario Odyssey is the fastest selling Mario game ever. Here's the press release from Nintendo. In just 5 days, the new Super Mario Odyssey video game for the Nintendo Switch system sold more than 1.1 million units in the US alone. That makes it the fastest selling Mario game ever in the US, surpassing new Super Mario Bros. Wii game. Super Mario Odyssey is also the fastest selling game so far for the Nintendo Switch. On Metacritic.com, which aggregates scores for certain reviewers, for example, the game currently has a critical review average of 97 with 43 perfect scores. This makes Super Mario Odyssey the best reviewed game on Metacritic for any system of the last 3 years, tied only with Nintendo Switch launch game, The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Nintendo has increased supplies of Nintendo Switch to meet demand through the holidays. Andrew?
Yes.
Is Mario Odyssey a 10 out of 10?
I haven't played enough of it to say.
Okay.
But I imagine with my history in the Mario franchise that it probably could be a 10 out of 10. A perfect game score.
Yeah.
Is a rare thing. And that's why it's so frustrating when the gaming community gets mad when a game gets a 9 out of 10. Because I'm like, no, a 9 out of 10 is an excellent score.
Of course.
Because you have to reserve the elusive 10 out of 10 for the very rare, perfect game experience.
The cream of the crop.
Exactly. One thing that Nintendo is known for is their level of polish and their dedication to making sure when they release a game that it's not broken. Right? That there's nothing about it that's broken.
Yeah.
And they pretty much across the board accomplished this. I mean, obviously, there's a couple here and there, but not with Mario, right? Like, they don't release broken Mario games.
Yeah.
So, and polish is something that is incredibly important when talking about perfection in game design. And that's something that now I feel like a lot of developers, I don't know if letting it slip is the right kind of phrase, but I feel like they are a little bit more flexible with their polish policies because of how easy it is to put in patches now versus before when we were in a disc-based only gaming, you know,
you
era.
Get the cartridge, that's what it is.
Right. So now it's like, well, we can patch it in later. We can see how the community is. We can put the balancing in after launch. But Nintendo, so far, does not publish their games that way. And I think that that is very commendable and they deserve praise for that.
Yeah. I love Super Mario Odyssey. I think you caught the show yesterday.
I did catch the show yesterday.
Right now it's my game of the year. I think it finally...
You know, what's interesting about you saying that is like... It's tough because one of the things that we need to consider as critics for Game of the Year
PUBG,
is... No, PUBG's not in the conversation, Greg.
Stop it.
When you talk about the perfection of Super Mario Odyssey and the jank of PUBG, they just are not...
I believe it was Danny O'Dwyer from NoClip that said jank is a feature, though.
No, jank is not a feature. My point is like... For example, let's take categories. If you look at the categories for the Game Awards last year, 2016, and if you can't comfortably nominate and have your Game of the Year pick win the majority of those categories, including art design, narrative, sound design, game directing, voice acting, right? Like if your Game of the Year pick can't cross many of those categories and potentially win the bulk of those categories, then why should it be Game of the Year? Right?
Yeah.
And when I look at that through that lens, I don't know if Super Mario Odyssey makes the case for that.
My counter argument would be like, well, voice acting, right? Like, wahoo! Like, that's all there is. So, like, that doesn't need
that's
to be
just
on
one,
there.
That's
right?
Just one category.
No, I know, but I'm saying, like, a reason why it wouldn't be there. And same with narrative, right? Like, this is where it starts
narrative
to get
narrative is super important for game design.
Hey, I agree. I'm very much a story whore, as I say. That's why I play games. I play them for Horizon story.
My point is, it doesn't mean that it can't be an excellent game that gets a perfect score.
Sure.
But when we're talking about Game of the Year, like the pinnacle game of across all of these different parameters, that's why I think it's important to take a look at all of these different, you know, categories. And does your Game of the Year, you know, fit into those categories? Does it excel here, 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 and here? And I don't know if Mario does.
My one thing would be, isn't gameplay king? Isn't that the major majority of it? Like, I mean, you and I want stories out of our games. I crave stories out of my game. I want to connect with characters and go that way. But in Mario, right, like, I don't need
Greg, you're not sucking me into another game with your discussion. I heard you do this with Gary yesterday.
Hey, it's called a good discussion, Andrea, and it's all about Mario right now, so we're on topic.
Here's the thing. Here's the difference. I am going to say I have not played enough Mario to accurately judge it against my current game of the year contenders.
Yeah.
Just like Gary yesterday has not played any Horizon, so he can't judge it against other Game of the Year contenders.
I don't know why Kevin
I need to
him.
Play more, yeah. And I'd be happy to discuss
you
more.
You need to come on Game of the Year Gamescast when we get to that point.
Yes, let's do it.
For now, though, let's kick it over to Lucy, who wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "Hi, Greg and Andrea. Last week, you two were talking about reviewing games and how you both don't like how scoring games with numbers works, I'll say. That got me thinking about other types of media and how they scored when they're reviewed. Films and music, even wrestling, generally use a 5-star rating system. So my question is, do you guys think a 5-star rating system would work for reviewing games as well? Love the show and thanks for the hard work you guys do. Lucy, a.k.a. Lucy." FYI, Greg, it's still pronounced Lucy just with the extended A at the end. Thanks. How do you feel about stars over numbers?
Stars are the same as scores.
Yeah.
They're the same.
They get boiled down the exact same way, right?
Exactly. A 4 out of 5 stars, an excellent game. But still, to a lot of people, that's not good enough.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the tough thing about putting any kind of a rating on a game, like whether it be stars or not. If you're going to use stars, sure, but you can still boil that down to a decimal, right? Like, yep. 4.5 stars is 4.5 out of 5.
Yep.
That's just math.
That's 9. Yeah.
You know?
And I like the star system. The train left the station on video games a long time ago. I don't think Giant Bomb does stars, or do they do stars now?
I honestly don't know.
Anyways, I think everybody in video games started using numbers, and numbers are just going to be there forever. And I think that's why we boil down stars to become numbers. I think that I like the simplicity of stars.
They do use stars on Giant Bomb.
I think it's a better system in terms of a discussion. I liked it when IGN, when I was working there, they moved back to just doing a 20-point scale. So there were 7, 7, 5, 8, 8, 5, 9, 9, 5. Because it breathes what I think this is, and that's discussion. Where it is, I'm giving this 4 stars, read the thing why. When we go to, it's a 9.7, it's a 9.6, it's a 9. Like, you get into the minutia of it. I feel like it just doesn't work because there's no scientific method for games. So there was a year when I reviewed, and this is rusty, stick with me. I reviewed Uncharted. No, it was Batman. That's what it was. I had reviewed Uncharted. I reviewed Infamous. And then when I was reviewing Batman Arkham Asylum, I was using my own thing in my own head of how they all matched up to, because I think it went 9-1, 9-2, 9-3, because I was like, I like it a little bit more than this. And it's just like, why the hell was I doing that? And like, that doesn't work for IGN overall, but you still have to come back to what it is and how to make a number out of an opinion, which is always a weird, stupid thing to do.
Yeah, well, when you're reviewing a piece of creative work, it's always going to be partially subjective.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just the fact of it. So that's why I don't like review scores.
Agree.
Because what you would score something, what I would score something would probably be different.
Yeah. Because I have taste. Oh! Swish. You hear me, Kevin? You hear the swish?
Got her.
Narrate her up.
Whatever, Patapon guy.
Whatever. Uncharted 3. Come on. At least layer an Uncharted 3. If you're going to come for me, come for the good stuff. No one can argue that Patapon isn't a perfect 10. Number 2 on the Roper Report. L.A. Noire is too big for the Switch hard drive. This is via IGN, who writes, "If you decide on the physical cartridge version of L.A. Noire, expect a 14-gigabyte download before you can play, which contains, quote, required gameplay data, as well as general bug fixes and improvements. However, those who opt for a digital copy of L.A. Noire for their Nintendo Switch will have to purchase a micro SD card, which is sold separately from the console. This is because L.A. Noire's file size is 29 gigabytes, just 3 gigabytes short of Nintendo Switch's 32 gigabyte internal storage capacity. As a standard, the console already uses 6.2 gigabytes of storage for the system itself, making it impossible to download on a Nintendo Switch without upgrading the internal storage."
And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why third-party AAA is not on Switch.
It's definitely a hassle. I feel like they're going to do it. We already saw NBA do it, right? Wasn't it NBA that needed it? I feel like for these companies that are bringing their games over, they just have to put it on the box, and people who want that kind of experience are going to hopefully no. I feel like we're all educated enough gamers for the most part who are getting a Switch who care about LA Noire that we all want the best, greatest storage anyway.
True, but I think that there's many consumers out there who are fans of Nintendo and have bought Nintendo consoles in the past that are not thinking about this.
Sure.
And so it's really up to retailers to indicate to consumers, hey, when you're buying this, you need to be aware that these are the system minimums or maximums, and you should be aware that if you want to buy more than one game, you're going to need to buy this extra piece of equipment to go with it.
100%. And you hope the boxes call that out. It's a weird regression back to like memory cards, right? When you when some your I know kids who got PlayStations and started, and then they want to go to save their game and they can't save it because up until then cartridges had been the norm and you knew how to save right internally.
Right.
Here you didn't, and that was weird. So this is just a weird step backwards on this system that's on the go, but it's also in the age of the digital download. I feel so many people jumped out of the gate to buy these cards right away. I know I did. And then I didn't because the kid just sent us a whole bunch. Because he ordered them from Amazon. He ordered one from Amazon. They sent him like 7. So he just sent the rest to Kinda Funny.
Well, that's nice.
It's what happens.
Yeah, good, I need to buy mine still.
Well, yeah, because LA Noire's coming up. You're going to be all over it.
Well, I had to delete one of my games to make room for Mario.
I hate that. That's a bad feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I hate deleting games.
Nobody's a fan. Andrea.
Yes, Greg.
LA Noire isn't out yet.
True.
But I want to play games that are out now. If I wanted to know what came to the digital mom and grop Switch shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today. Strap in. It's Nintendo Day. Sparkle 2 Evo on the Nintendo Switch eShop. Farming Simulator. No, that's not right. I don't hate how Nintendo tries to update me for the whole week. So no, Farming Simulator is coming out on the 7th.
That goes into new dates.
Perception. Yeah, okay. Well, there. Okay, so we're going to have to call them out as we go. So then new date. Farming Simulator Nintendo Switch Edition comes out on November 7th. Maybe not new, but we're giving the update. Perception comes to the Switch eShop today. Hiding Out comes to the 3DS on the November 6th. Morphite comes to the Nintendo eShop on the Switch. Super Beat Sports comes to the eShop on Nintendo Switch.
I think we all know that these are all eShop Switch games.
Okay. ACA, Neo Geo, Art of Fighting 3 comes to Switch. Wheels of Aurora. So you're saying, do I don't have to say Switch at all?
Yes.
Just call it out if it's 3DS or something else?
Yeah, so the 3DS ones are at the bottom. So until we switch to 3DS, these are all on Nintendo Switch.
The Hiding Out just hit out right in the middle there. That was a 3DS one. All right, unless otherwise noted, Switch game eShop. Wheels of Aurelia, Heroes of the Monkey Tavern, November 7th. Style Savvy, Styling Star, demo on the 3DS. Physical Contact, 2048, 3DS. Physical Contact, Speed, 3DS. Phil's Epic Picks Adventure. I want to play that. 3DS.
Philippics.
Tomalin in Trouble. Nintendo eShop Wii U. Power Golf Virtual Console Wii U. And then .hack/GU Last Recode PlayStation 4 PC. New dates for you. The For Honor team is hosting a free weekend November 9th through the 12th. So you can get on Xbox, PlayStation, or PC. Download For Honor. Give it a try. And then Andrea. You have two new dates I missed.
Yes. So Pillars of Eternity 2, the definitive edition, will be available on PC, Mac, and Linux on November 15th. That includes both White March expansions, all premium extras, all new bundle of content. And yeah, that's it. Definitive edition. Plus, Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Don't Stop Believing, the 5th episode in the Telltale series.
The finale.
Is arriving November 7th.
You play it?
No.
No, me neither. I played episode 1. I was just like, this isn't that great.
I played like a little bit of episode 1 and I was like, I can't.
Yeah. But hey, it's wrapping up and it's an easy platinum, so go for it. Deals of the day for you. I got this from Polygon. Costco put up their Black Friday ad. So November 24th through the 27th, they have crazy deals on consoles. So here we go. You can get the Xbox One S 500GB sports bundle with a 3-month Game Pass and an extra controller for $300 online only. PlayStation 4 1TB slim console bundle with Destiny 2 and Call of Duty World War 2 for $290 online only. Xbox One S 500GB bundle with 3-month Game Pass and an extra controller for $220. That's in-store. And then PlayStation 4 1TB console with an extra controller for $190 in-store.
So how is it the deal of the day if I can't buy these until the end of the month?
It's a deal and it's a heads up for you.
Mm.
I'm not going to remember to tell you at the end. I mean, well, that's Thanksgiving vacation.
Right.
It's a deal of the day, and it's so good I had to tell him. Don't try to bust my balls.
Well, the Tuesday before, we should do like a roundup of all the best Black Friday deals.
No, don't. No.
Too much work.
Yeah, that's the one where on a Tuesday before you throw a rock at IGN, Polygon, any of them. They got a million of those articles up. It would just be the entire show. I'm in Costco's pocket, apparently. That's what it is. Time for reader mail. I'm going to start with Greg Sinclair, who writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, "What's up, Greg and Andrea? So this morning, I read Mark Medina's campaign preview for Call of Duty World War II on IGN. And I gotta say, I'm intrigued. His preview talks about a mission where you have to infiltrate a Nazi base and memorize your cover to prevent being exposed. The mission looks really interesting and a tone shift from what COD campaigns have been like in the past. I am genuinely excited to jump in and experience the story that Sledgehammer has crafted. Here's my question. Do you see a future Call of Duty that ships without a single-player campaign? I think Sledgehammer tends to put more focus on single player than other Call of Duty devs, but I'm not sure it makes financial sense for Activision to continuously funnel money into these experiences. Thanks for reading my question. Kind of Funny Games Daily has become my favorite game show on the internet. Greg."
Well, Greg, I only play Call of Duty for the single player expansions, and there are many people out there like me, and I have no problem paying the full price just for the single player. There has been talk in the past some analysis of whether Call of Duty would go to like a live service or a subscription model.
Yeah.
They have Call of Duty Online in Asia, and there's talk of them potentially doing something like that here in the United States. So instead of them releasing like the $60 title and then a $50 season pass, which has map packs throughout the year, of just doing like a monthly subscription price, and then you get Call of Duty every month all year long.
Yeah, new updates, new things.
But the thing about Call of Duty and it being the biggest entertainment franchise in the world, according to Activision's numbers, mm-hmm. is that they like this giant media push. They like that everyone's talking about the game all at the same time. They kind of do this tidal wave of marketing around launch. They get, you know, athletes involved and actors and a whole bunch of influencers. And there's a lot of people talking about that. And that looks really good to like your shareholders and your board of directors, right? You can point to all of these things and go, look at how razzle dazzle we are. I don't think that's going
to
change.
It looks good to the general public as well. If you don't know video games, you still heard of Call of Duty, you've heard of these numbers,
right?
And moving to a live service, you lose that pop, because suddenly it becomes this thing where people are super into the patch notes if they're super into Call of Duty, but how do you make that an event?
Right.
This is the fall event every year, and that's why they have these studios cycling. So everybody's, you know, it's going to be Treyarch, it's going to be Sledgehammer, it's going to be Infinity Ward. It's going to keep switching off so that they can make sure they're funneling it out and getting the day they want, like you're talking about.
Absolutely. And also it allows them to maintain the quality level of the franchise. Mm-hmm. As much as people love to hate on Call of Duty, they still put out really fantastic games. Like the polish and the gameplay is really excellent. They've set a really great bar for game design, and you can hate on the content if you don't like it. That's totally fine. You don't ever have to play Call of Duty, but clearly millions of players across the world are playing it because it continues to sell well each and every year. Now, have they had a couple of down years? Yes. Do they maybe need to take a break from the franchise like Assassin's Creed did and maybe take a look at the formula and figure out how they can change it up? Sure. But I think this year, with a return to World War II, yeah. I think they're going to kill it this year. I really do.
Well, I mean, what's interesting about it is I'm the same way as you. I like playing them for the campaign. And the future things and the mech robots and the spaceship into space, like from Earth to space, while cool ideas, were never narrative hooks that really got me, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm more excited for this campaign in World War II. I just got my copy before we came on, than I have been for a campaign in the Call of Duty in quite some time, because they said all the right things about it, of like, cool, you're in this one platoon, you're following through these years, you're not doing Battle of the Bulge, you're not doing how World War II Call of Duties used to be, of let's take you to Omaha Beach and let's have you do the giant moments. They're like, we want to tell you a character-based story. And granted, they say that every time. Every time they bring out Kevin Spacey or Brandon Routh, it's like, we're in this for the story and blah, 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 blah. This one seems like what Mark's preview talks about is like, hey, the gameplay is different and interesting enough. And then from what I've seen before, if it's even a little bit like an interactive Band of Brothers where I'm really getting to know these guys and they're not just that guy's, oh, he's dead, whatever, I don't care. If I'm actually engaging with them and playing through it and having it be a tight Call of Duty story, right, that is an afternoon into an evening playthrough, that's exactly what I want out of them. Do I think there'll be a Call of Duty that ships without a single player campaign, Greg? No. Because I feel like at this point, it's they have a system done, let alone the fact of they saw what happened to Titanfall. They saw what happened to Battlefront, where they came out without a single-player campaign and got flogged for it. And that was the big knock. I think what's the power of Call of Duty is the fact that you're going to get the multiplayer kids who want to come in and just play Call of Duty no matter what. But when you do something cool in the single player, that's when you get another pop from people like us, IGN, people who would never, ever talk about this. If this was a multiplayer-only game, I'd be like, cool, not for me. I play Destiny. I don't need to worry about it. But knowing that there's a limited time I can hop in and enjoy those shooting mechanics, get a good story, I'm going to talk about it.
Put simply, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Exactly. Exactly.
It ain't broke.
Let's see where we're going now. What do you think? Oh, this is an interesting one. Marco writes in about a Kotaku article. Hi, Greg and Andrew. I have recently read an article on Kotaku about the relationship between game devs and alcohol in Australia. A number of devs have spoken out about how networking meetings are usually organized in pubs / bars and how this can create a divide between individuals who drink and those who do not, either for health, religious, personal reasons. I found myself thinking, well, why not just go to the bar and drink water or soda? But then I thought maybe some people don't want to be around alcohol if they are recovering alcoholic, or some people might not feel comfortable in a usually loud, rowdy bar setting. Either way, I would love to hear your thoughts about the relationship of alcohol and the gaming industry and whether you've experienced any issues with it first or secondhand. Keep up the awesome content, Marco. P.S. How's the platinum chase going for Destiny, Greg? Have you finished Persona 5 yet? Get off my back, Marco! That's how it's going on both fronts. Destiny 2, still planning on platinuming this weekend. Got a lot of work. Don't okay me, Kevin.
Did you check what the Nightfall is this week?
No. I'm just gonna, I mean, that's
because you're not prestiging the raid.
No, God, no. No, no. Somebody's gonna have to drag me through Nightfall and Trials of the Nine. And then I just gotta get the warlock.
Somebody's gonna have to drag
It'll happen.
Through.
Don't worry about it, everybody. Probably, maybe. The problem with Extra Life is that I always envision I'm going to sit there and play games just for 24 hours. And inevitably, it's like, I'm already barbecuing. Now we're spinning a wheel. Somebody's dyeing my hair. That's happening. It's like, who the hell knows what the time will really do. But it's all for the big, beautiful kids. We'll see what's up. Alcohol. I found this interesting because recently, and not because of this article, because this article is, just a few days old, or a day old now, I saw our friend, Eric Pope, quote tweet somebody, and this is from within the past month, but quote tweet basically like, hey, maybe don't think about having your team building events at bars. It's not fun for those of us who don't drink. And Eric Pope was like, yeah, totally. This I guess happens to me all the time, or I agree with this kind of thing. And it was one of those things I was like, oh, I never really thought about it. And then having this article drop and have Marco write in with it, it's like, yeah, I guess that's a real thing that's going on. And our industry is so heavily tied to drinking and going to the bar and doing all these different things where you go to an event or you go to a happy hour to meet PR people or you go to a game thing and it is open bar and you play the game for 30 minutes and then start drinking and hanging out. It is an interesting thing of like, we are still such a young industry and how this plays into it.
I don't think it's exclusive to video games. I think a lot of industries do happy hour meetups or have open bars at their company parties and and things like this. I think that the reason why you see drinks at a lot of these events are because they're a social lubricant, right?
Yeah.
And we're an industry full of nerds who are usually socially awkward.
We just want to sit in our dark room and play this game and be left alone.
Yeah, in order for us to be able to talk to each other, you know, a little bit of liquid courage is sometimes helpful to people. Sure. But I absolutely understand how people who don't drink can sometimes take issue with this. I think it comes down to like, you know, your personal relationship with alcohol and how it has affected you in your life. I would hope that people who do have issues with alcohol would be comfortable going to their employer to say, hey, can you make our team exercises not specifically in a place designated to sell alcohol? But like if alcohol is there, I don't see why that should be an issue either, because it has to come to a point where like obviously you want to take everybody's feelings into perspective, but you also can't, you know, take one person's and prioritize them over everybody else's. Mm-hmm. Right, it needs to be kind of a group effort. So maybe you have it at a restaurant where people can eat food and in addition to having drinks as well, instead of it just being a bar where there's only drinks.
Sure.
Or maybe you have it in a park, you know, and then you don't have to worry about it. I don't think that making it specifically about games is poignant here, because I think this is an, like I mentioned earlier, like this happens across many different kinds of industries.
Of course.
I don't think it's
feel like ours parties more often than others. And this is me not working in others, but I mean like When I was in a newspaper, right? Yeah, company party, the holiday party, that kind of thing happens, sure. But how many weeks is it where it's like, all right, well, Namco's doing this event, and then 2 days later, Square is doing this event, and then it's Game Dev Drink Up, or it's some kind of thing at the Folsom, or it's Kind of Funny's doing something stupid. And I'm not saying that's every week, but it is an option where it's coming out, happening.
Certainly at a lot of events, but again, it's all about your personal choice and if you choose to drink or to not drink. I know many people in the video game business that I see at all of these events that never have a drink. Like multiple people I know that whenever I see them, they're just not drinking because they just, that's not part of their lifestyle.
Sure.
And they have never once said to me, like, I feel uncomfortable at this event because other people are drinking. So I guess I would be curious to know, like, what causes people to feel uncomfortable. Obviously, there's a line, right?
Sure.
Like, if you're...
when somebody's shit-faced.
If you're at, like, a late-night event and somebody is overindulging and becoming, you know, socially ridiculous, right? They're behaving badly. I think that's another issue. But when we're talking about a company party where there's... maybe it's like an hour long or a couple hours long.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I've ever been to an issue or been to a video game event specifically. I can't remember one where I saw alcohol derail the event. Because for the most part, people that I know in my professional circle all are under the same understanding that this is a networking event.
We're here to work, yeah.
And that like while it's okay to have like a couple of drinks, no one's going there to like tie one on and like get blackout drunk at the end of the night. It's not a party. It's still a professional networking mixer event.
Yeah. It's an interesting line. It's an interesting as somebody who drinks and doesn't think about it, something I never really contemplated until I saw like the Pope tweet. And like I've been obviously, I mean, like your husband doesn't drink, right? And
so, no, like, he doesn't drink at all.
I remember the first time at an event where John was like that. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And it wasn't like he's not preachy about it or anything like that. It was just okay, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, the first time we met actually was at a video game party at GDC. And I was like, hey, I'm going up to the bar. Can I get you something? And he was like, oh, I'll just take a Diet Coke. And I was like, but it's open bar, man. Are you sure you don't want anything?
You're putting like the cocktail olives into your purse. You're like, it's all free.
The first time we talked about it, I was much younger. So yes, all the free drinks, I was like, give me all the free stuff.
Totally. And that's what I'm talking about, where it's like, yeah.
But he was like, no, I just don't drink. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, it's interesting.
I was like, I'll get you all the Diet Cokes you want then.
And that's now your life.
Yeah.
Constant supply of Diet Cokes.
Literally, I buy a case every like 2 days, you guys. It's bad.
For the Halloween party, I was trying to get him 2 liters, but I went to 2 stores, no 2 liters.
Really?
I had to just buy 1 liter of Diet Coke and have them on hand for him.
Mm.
Weird. It's very weird.
Must be a San Francisco
thing. Somebody look into what's happening. Vince Patel writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, greeting best friends and Kind of Funny Games Daily hosts. Just a quick question about Game of the Year discussion that happened yesterday. Is there a specific reason that Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, is largely being omitted from even being nominated? Yes. I don't think it's Game of the Year. Andrea?
No. It has no chance of winning, so why would it be nominated?
Vitz continues, because I'm joking around a little bit. While I hail the achievements of Horizon, especially for a new IP, the title I had the most fun with was Uncharted. Was it a game that's good, not great in the critical sphere? Much love from the UK, Vitz. I think that's a good way to put it. I think it was... We've talked about other things. I think Uncharted Lost Legacy is a great game. It's enjoyable. It's beautiful. Performances are great. I didn't love it as much as the other Uncharteds. I didn't think it moved the needle. And this is what we start talking about when we talk about Game of the Year. And like, granted, everybody comes at it a little bit differently, but even with yours, right? Of like, if it's going to win the majority of awards or categories, I should say, it's similar here where it's just like Game of the Year needs to be like, holy shit. I can't believe, and this is my interpretation of Game of the Year. Holy shit. I can't believe this game. This is the pinnacle of what gaming is in 2017, 2016, 2014. And I don't think Lost Legacy is in that discussion. As great as it is.
It was just a new story in Uncharted 4.
Yeah.
Right. And Uncharted 4 was nominated for Game of the Year because it was an outstanding achievement. But Uncharted Lost Legacy is the same engine. It's the same gameplay design, the same art design, the same narrative design, even though the narrative was different. But like, it's very much just more Uncharted 4. And so while that makes it a good game and a good game to play, it doesn't make a Game of the Year.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's great, and it's because it's more Uncharted 4, but it's just more Uncharted 4, which sounds weird to say, but also isn't, because Zelda and Horizon and Mario, I think, all did something new this year. And of course, game of the year itself, PUBG. Why not?
Not even.
Why not? Pete wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, good afternoon. With Dreams being a disappointing no-show at Paris Games Week, it seems like most gamers have begun to give up hope. They've since tweeted out, and this is Media Molecule, has since tweeted out that they'll have something to unveil before the end of the year, but it seems like too little too late. What can Media Molecule do to change the narrative that their game is in trouble and to prevent a fizzle release like The Last Guardian or Gravity Rush 2? Should they only come out and release it as quickly as possible? And take their lumps? Make a big showcase at PSX and try to build up hype? Launch as a PlayStation Plus free game? Thanks. Why not, Pete? I really feel for Dreams, right? The tenor of the conversation being down on Dreams is really from listening to people like us who have been saying for years, I don't know what this game is and what's going on, blah. If they come out at PSX and like, hey, everybody, let's show you Dreams, and they show you an awesome trailer that everybody's like, holy shit, yes, I need to play that, the narrative's changed. Right now, the narrative exists because there's a vacuum of information. So it is every time there's a press conference that comes and goes, every time the summer comes and the beta they said was going to happen doesn't happen, we're all like, where is Dreams? And it's then you go back to like, we saw it at PSX and they were trying to convince us that it was a real game. And then they were making buildings. We haven't seen it, but it's this, and it's moving it around.
Well, there was a couple quotes at VG247.com. Michael Denny, Sony's Senior Vice President of Worldwide Studios. Did you see this?
No.
Was speaking to them about Dreams. Now, what he said was, quote, it is still in development and is still very, very exciting. We're big fans of everything Media Molecule has done, and it is so wonderful, and it is very much in development, very much still progressing, and will very much be exciting when we talk about it next. Denny even went so far as to suggest we could finally be seeing Dreams return sooner than expected. Quote, it is going to be massive. It's incredible. We've shown lots of it before. When we come back with it again, that will be fairly soon. Without putting any dates on it, it's going to blow people away.
Yeah. I mean, Dreams or
Media Molecule. This is from yesterday.
Media Molecule did tweet after the PlayStation Paris Games the week of like, yeah, congratulations, everybody who showed stuff. Like, you're still going to hear from us. And somebody was like, when?
PSX, duh.
They're like, before the end of the year. So it's got to be PSX. And I do think that you come out with an awesome trailer, you show this game's phenomenal, and then if you do, I don't think you need to PlayStation Plus it. It depends how great the trailer is. If the trailer's just, okay, it's good, and then you're like, it's PlayStation Plus, and it's available now, that's a huge, another boost, and people are going to talk it, and they're going to try it, and they're going to see what it is. But based on what we've seen before, it's just that thing of like, yeah, it's Media Molecule who are fucking awesome. I love Media Molecule.
Well,
they're super creative.
I think the concept of this game is such a tough sell that they have that working against them.
Yeah.
That I've completely forgot about this game. Like,
a lot of people have.
Just like, I'm not thinking about it. I don't really care about it. I don't even barely remember it. I'm looking at some of the screenshots now, and
I don't remember what they call their little teardrop character that's supposed to possess people.
Yeah, and I'm like, I barely remember this game.
If you want to know, the best analogy I can think of, or the best like comparison here, is that this game, from what they've shown, is not in the bad context, but this feels like such a PlayStation 3 thing. Of the, hey, we're PlayStation and we do artsy stuff and we're going to put out an exclusive every month and like these guys have made this crazy weird thing, let's look at it. And that right at the launch of PlayStation 4, it was like, hey, we're switching over to being gamers first. This is all about games, and we're going to have indies in there. And then now we're to a PlayStation 4 that is about like, hey, best place to play, we have the exclusives, we have the market share, it's just going to be AAA stuff we show you, indies take care of themselves. I don't see how PlayStation first party is going to get behind this and advertise and market this thing to be on when they're out there with Battlefront or God of War or all these games that are like AAA, easy to wrap your head around. You're not here to think about the art of games, whereas this is so much an art project.
Yeah, no, it's not meant for holiday, right?
Yeah.
So that's probably why we haven't heard much about it. And we'll probably hear more about it at PSX. And then if we're going to talk about a release window, it would be outside of those big giant tentpole games that
summertime,
yeah, franchises that are easy to recognize.
Yeah, we'll see. PSX coming up quick. And then the final question for today comes from Ryan. Ryan writes in and says, hey, with the release of Skyrim VR for PlayStation VR getting closer, we finally received a lot of footage showing the game in all its glory. The reactions from those who got to try it with full locomotion at Paris Games Week have so far been overwhelmingly positive. With that in mind, I have to ask, do you feel the hype? How are you feeling about the game as its release looms even closer? Will you find the time to play it with everything else coming out this year? I appreciate it. Everything the entire Kinda Funny crew does, and always look forward to listening each and every weekday. Ryan, a.k.a. Skisorsky, UH60 on PSN.
No. It pains me to say, I have zero hype for this after playing it earlier this year.
Played it at E3, and I was like, whoa! This doesn't look good.
It does not look good. Yeah. Now, I didn't play it with full locomotion. Yeah. I played it with the teleport traversal. But I did play Fallout with full locomotion, and it was not good. Combat is tough. It's very difficult to turn. The biggest thing about combat in these open world Bethesda games is you're constantly in and out of your menus. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to move quickly with the camera because the enemies are all around you. And it's just incredibly difficult to accomplish in VR.
Yeah.
And so I'm really, really skeptical that this is going to be successful. And I'm glad that there has been some positive things coming out of Paris Games Week. But when I tried this just a few months ago, yeah. I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Skyrim doesn't need to be successful on PSVR. Mm-hmm. It's been successful. It's sold millions of year after year. So like if they biff this one, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, no, I like to see Bethesda getting in there and trying this tech in the same way I like to see them bringing Skyrim and Wolfenstein 2 to Switch. But yeah, when I played, I was like, ooh, no, this isn't. Not to mention that I know it is. This is one of those games that always sounds cool. Let's get into these. Like, but when I played Fallout, even I was like, oh, this is cool, but not how I want to play Fallout, not how I want to play these first person games.
No, it's very challenging. The movement is really difficult. Like the concept of Skyrim in VR sounds really cool,
yeah,
but then when you see it in reality, it's not. Like the dream of what it could be is just not there,
yeah,
in the hardware, in the software, and it was just disappointing. It fell flat.
Want
like more. I had to get out of VR quickly because I got so sick because the motion was so broken.
No.
And like I went into one cave and the spider came and I was trying to fight and it just went really badly. And I was like, no, this is not, I can't. Nope.
See you guys later. Take it off. You're out. Time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. You need to give me your name, your username, platform of choice, and why you need help in whatever video game it is. I read it here. The best friends find you, and everybody has a great time. Today, Torin's writing in on PC. Ugh. The PC name he's using is all one word. A bloated star, #1864. That might be a Discord thing. I don't know. Let's see if he explains it. Hey, everyone. Poompa Loompa is back, but this time I need help on PC. Last time I asked for help with the Rat King quest in Destiny 2, and the Kinda Funny best friends came to my aid and helped me and my brother complete the quest and even do the raid. Shout out to Fatal Otaku and Gassi97. However, with the raid out on PC, I need some best friends to help me out once again. It is my friend's first time playing Destiny 2, and we are all gearing up for the raid, but we need 3 more people. If any Kinda Funny best friends want to help us out, that would be great. So everybody, if you're one of these PC dorks using your Excel spreadsheets and Clippy, a bloated star, #1864. Enjoy. Do your taxes while you're there. Time for a rotating segment. This is a very special, this trophy can go fuck itself. Greg and Andrea, my name is Kevin Garaventa. As soon as Wolfenstein 2 New Colossus launched on Friday, the forums on many of the PlayStation-centric websites went ablaze about the requirements for the Platinum Trophy for the game and one trophy in particular. Mein Leben, I have no idea how to pronounce it, he puts in parentheses. I think I got close. This bronze trophy requires you to beat the game on the hardest difficulty without dying and without checkpoints, meaning this 10 to 14 hour game has to be played in one sitting. I like a challenging platinum as many of the other players out there, but as soon as I learned about this one, I decided that the platinum just isn't for me. As you are Kinda Funny's lead trophy hunter, Greg, I'd like to know what you think about this kind of trophy. Should the mode or the trophy itself be altered? Love the show and everything Kinda Funny does. Kevin. I don't like this trophy. But here's my thing. I respect this trophy. Because as we've said on the show already, not let alone the other times we've talked about it, Wolfenstein's whole shtick is that it's a fucking hard game and it's going to kick you in the balls and shove your face in the poop. And you're like, I just want to play. It's fun. And I keep dialing the difficulty down, right? If you're Wolfenstein crazy and you're dialing the difficulty up because there's hard difficulty trophies in general you have to get, this seems like the kind of sadistic shit you sick fucks are going to want. There's something wrong with all of you. Bethesda and Pete Hines knows it. And they're using that to their advantage to make some crazy-ass twisted platinum no one in their right mind should bother getting, but one of you is going to do it if you haven't already. You probably already have. Memorizing stuff, doing all these different things, it's crazy. I personally don't like trophies like this, but I don't think it's when you see a developer fuck up their trophy list where they put in a stupid achievement and they Friday the 13th's entire trophy list, right? Like, hey, this will be funny.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, hey, this sucks. This is not fun. We don't like this. I think this is them very much being like, let's torture these bastards. Let's go out there and see who the real Wolfenstein sick fucks are. So they're looking for you, sick fucks. It's for you. You gonna get it, Andrea?
You know I don't care about trophies. Don't care.
Okay, fine.
I just like to play games.
That's respectable. Andrea?
Yes.
It's time for you're wrong.
Can we please figure out how to clear
this thing? I talked to Joey today. Remember, if we do something wrong live on the show, get a fact wrong, you need to write into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell us what the fact we screwed up. Then we will go through it. But yeah, I complimented the mods on their clearing it out, and then they stopped clearing it out. Now, granted, maybe they're busy. I talked to Joey about it. If not, we can move to a Google form. It's no big deal. But just go to the last page and work it.
So multiple people wrote in on this technicality.
You sound thrilled about it. You sound like you're really enjoying this correction.
Greg said the Kinda Funny stream will be 24 hours, but with the fallback for daylight savings, it will be a 25-hour live stream due to the two instances of 1 a.m.
Now, here's the thing, motherfuckers. Did I say when we were ending the fucking stream? No. It starts at 10 a.m. It ends at 9 a.m. the next day. Suck it. That's what happens to you, all right? This is the same shit we had to go through last year, and we survived that. We'll survive this. If you wrote in with that correction, here's what I want you to do. Take your fist, punch yourself in the stomach. Don't really do that.
Capitalist Pig, not sure which is wrong here, you or this Kotaku article, but according to this, most of the Switch games you mentioned came out on Tuesday, not today.
Huh.
Update, checked my own Switch, and Perception is listed as releasing on 10/31, Halloween. Sounds like your list is off by a day or two.
Here's the problem. All the dates I read came from Nintendo's press release. Their usual Thursday press release of here's what's going up on the eShop.
Dang it,
so
Nintendo.
So maybe they finally gave in and started updating on Tuesday. Either way, Nintendo, you're wrong. Everybody write into Bill Trinan and tell him he's wrong. Don't give him no context. Just tweet at him.
Batman Dan 6 says Hack/GU Last Recode is out tomorrow, not today. Just clarifying for the five people who look forward to this, myself included. And that's directly from the PlayStation Store he linked.
Nice.
Maybe
it's just PCs out today because that's from your website, the VG release dates thing.
Ponzer Juice says Andrea said Pillars of Eternity 2 Definitive Edition will release on November 15th. Pillars of Eternity 1 Definitive Edition is releasing that day. That is my bad. Pillars of Eternity 2 has no release date as of yet. My apologies.
Editorial isn't happening? Too many words? They're using too many words?
See, and Awesome Aztec, you do this a lot.
Oh, here we go.
You write in, which we appreciate, of course, but a lot of times it's not like a cut like, hey, this is what you got wrong. He says additional information of the LA Noire story. Nintendo offers a 32-gigabyte game card for Switch, so the only reason the physical version of LA Noire needs an additional download is because Rockstar are being cheap and opting for the 16-gigabyte game cards. This obviously starts another discussion about Nintendo game cards being more expensive than discs, but sure, the digital version will still require an SD card since it's too big for the internal storage like the article mentioned. So
we're not wrong, it's just more facts.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a clarification.
Yeah.
Maybe something worth writing into kindoffunny.com/KFGD about instead of you're wrong. They literally started their thing with commentary. So
get them out of here.
So this is, I appreciate you writing in, Titan Matrix, but this is definitely something you should write into kindoffunny.com/KFGD with, not you're wrong. But thank you for your commentary, but I will not read it under you're wrong.
You're tough but fair, Andrea Renee.
I mean,
you're the busiest lady in the business. You ain't got time for bullshit.
We didn't get something wrong here. If you literally start your wrong with commentary, that's not what your wrong is for.
Tough but fair. That's why we like you. That's why we respect you. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily for Tuesday, November 2nd, 2017. Tomorrow, guest host on Kinda Funny Games Daily, the star of Battlefront 2, Janine Van... No, I screwed up. It's Janina. I'm always confused. I'm going to screw up her last name. Gavankar. Janina from the Game Over Greggy Show. My friend is coming through to do it. You know her. She doesn't like Mitch Dyer. Neither do we. We'll make sure we talk about that. If you want to watch, remember it's live. Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. You can get it later. YouTube.com/KindaFunnyGames. Or you can listen on podcast services around the globe, no matter where you pick up the show. Thank you so much for doing so. Extra Life around the corner. Remember, KindaFunny.com/Extra Life. Sign up or donate and get ready to watch us be idiots for 24 hours, not 25, motherfuckers, on Twitch.tv/KindaFunnyGames. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.